Now in year number 6, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 317 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels, coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio, and I'm thrilled that you're listening to this episode. In just a few moments, I'm going to be joined by my mate Mick Aussie from MickAussie.tv, and we are going to be discussing and previewing round one of the 2024 fixture. Now, don't forget that if you're interested in having your local footy club getting a shout-out, I do hope you'll reach out to me and tell me about that. I love being able to mention local footy clubs and learn about the footy landscape, if you will, through this. Drop me a note on one of my socials. You can find all of those over on my website, yankonthefooty.com, or yankonthefooty@gmail.com. You can also email me there as well. Now, today's club of the episode, kind of taking a little bit of a step back to a previous one, and they are the Tracy Village Razorbacks of the NTFL. Now, I've had them featured as a club of the episode before, but the success continues. Their under 14 boys team defeated PINT 52-19 this past weekend to secure their premiership. And their senior men's side is facing off against Jabiru in the grand final at TIO Stadium on Saturday of this week at 11:30 in the morning in Darwin. And I'm very proud to don my Razorbacks polo shirt that they shared with me a while back when I wear it to school. I wear it out in public. It gets a lot of questions. So I want to wish the Razorbacks the absolute best of luck going into this weekend. Hopefully they can go ahead and hoist themselves yet another premiership flag. So let's go ahead and jump into my chat with Mick Aussie from MickAussie.tv, and we're going to talk all things round one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to be joined by my mate Mick Aussie as we sit down to preview round one. Is this the official first round? Mick, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, I wasn't convinced on that round zero opening round. Whatever, it's good for the northern states, we know that, and to kick some rugby butts, good. But yeah, a bit confusing, eh? All this four games. And anyway, you and I went 3-1, so that wasn't too bad, mate.
Not bad at all. Yeah, and I just wonder if the maybe they should look at having possibly like an opening round gather round and send all 9 games up to Queensland or New South Wales if the NRL is going to be over here in the United States, and just, you know, play 2 games at each of the clubs' parks that they played at this past weekend, and maybe send 1 game up to Townsville or something.
Yeah, maybe, but 9 games would be too much. They wouldn't get the crowds, and that's why we have it in my home state of South Australia, and it's there for a few years, so I'm happy about that. Yep. But talking about that, hey, what about Sports Day SA? Malcolm Blight, the legend, went 0-4, and I sent a tweet, and David Wildey, the host, the former North Adelaide fullback, longtime host, well, me and him have been raising up Malcolm Blight, the legend, went 0-4, so wow.
Well, that is, maybe you should, you went 3-1 this week, as did I, and maybe you should switch careers and maybe take his spot on the radio as the prognosticator, because you do a lot of that with other games as well with Gabe over there on Sports Grid.
Yeah, well, Malcolm Blight's my favorite guy, commentator, analyst of AFL, and when he says something, all the other states in Melbourne listen and the story spreads. So legend, player, fantastic on radio. But he took it well, but deep down, he'd be spewing. He went 0-4. So would I, actually.
and when he listens to this one, we should remind him that it is Mick Aussie and not Aussie Mike. But that's not a huge issue. But yes, it's maybe we should put like one of the little things there for like a short Y instead of a long Y on there. But so we've got 9 games this week, and of course the AFL has decided that they're going to play the first 3 games at the MCG. So that grass is going to get, is going to get its work in this weekend. But, we start out with what has typically been the opening game of the season with Richmond and Carlton over at the MCG. And you got Corey Durden coming in, replacing Sam Doherty. Just really stinks that he's, dinged up again with another knee injury. And, you know, that man has gone through hell and back to be able to play this game that he loves. And it's really sad to see him, you know, being out. You've got Dusty Martin back in, Tom Lynch, Nan Curvis is back in. Ryan Manziel is in for the Tigers. What are you thinking on this one? This is going to be an interesting one, I think.
Yeah, well, as you know, this time last year, I took the girlfriend to this game, her first real game. We'd seen trial games in Adelaide and a massive crowd, and it was a draw, 8 goals, 10 each. So that was a great night there at the MCG, massive crowd. Well, the Blues started at 18.5-point favourite. It's gone down to 15.5, probably because of those ins for the Tigers. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, the Blues were damn lucky to win. How did the Lions blow that 46-point lead? And you're right, Doherty, third ACL, two-time cancer survivor. Very sad news. I'll tip the Blues. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's closer than 15.5 points. So I hope it's a close one and a ripper of a start to the official round one.
Well, you ask how the Lions blew that lead real quickly there. And I did link up an article from foxsports.com.au where Lachie Neal called out his selfish teammates to saying that they were, quote unquote, shitting on your teammates by playing as poorly as they did there. So we'll get into talking about you know, the Lions here in a moment, but you got to tip your cap to the Blues for having that massive comeback. But you know, I wonder if they're going to have a bit of a letdown. You know, I'm actually tipping the Tigers to win this one. I just have this feeling with bringing Dusty back in and Tom Lynch back in for the first time in how long has it been since Tom Lynch has played a game? I just think there's enough quality players on this Richmond side, and I said at the beginning of the year that I thought Richmond is going to win games that are going to be inconvenient to other clubs. And I think this is one of them. And I think it's going to be one of those games that Carlton's going to look back at the end of the season and go, son of a bitch, we let that one get away from us now, didn't we?
Well, I tipped them 10th. And even though they got off to a great start, I'm a bit with you. Their coach is great. I love their coach, but their fans and their players can get a bit ahead of themselves, or as we call in Australia, big-headed or arrogant. But, hey, what would I know? It's going to be close. They'll be up and down all year, probably better than worse.
Isn't that kind of like being out over your ski, too far out over your skis? Isn't that one of the things that they talk about, like with the folks that do like the ski jumping, that sort of thing?
I haven't heard that one.
But you get too top heavy and you tend to topple over there. So
right, yeah.
So we're back at the MCG again, and we've got week two of the Brody Grundy reunion tour taking place in Melbourne this time, with the Swans heading off to go play Collingwood. You know, in another, you know, after, you know, he, I think we could say safely say that he bested Max Gawn this past week. Pies are raising their banner. I'm going with Sydney to win this one by a little more than a goal, by 7 points. I think they're going to spoil the celebration. Maybe I'm just being contrary here.
Mate, that's funny, because I've actually changed my pick to the Magpies. I hope I'm wrong. I just think the banner unveiled, that massive Collingwood crowd there, will get the players up. But I am worried, and I hope I'm wrong here. I hope the Swans win. I think the Magpies have celebrated too much and carried on a bit too much, and they might be off the pace a little bit. They're favoured by 10.5. Let's take the Swans to cover that. I hope they win, but I am tipping the Magpies very, very just. They're off a six-day break, which is a bit short. And I've got to talk about the big fella, the big American, Mason Cox. Now, some commentators are saying, oh, move on, no big deal what he did. It wasn't a big deal, but it damn well could have been. If Mumford decided to belt him, or a couple other players hip and shouldered him, it could have been an all-in brawl. So I'm on the AFL side there to give Mason Cox a warning. And anyone that doesn't know this, go on YouTube and Google Dermot Branton into the Essendon Bombers huddle and see what he did. Craziness. So I just thought of that, and Mason Cox could have been in trouble, and he did do something stupid, and he didn't back it up. He had a terrible game. So I just hope he concentrates on football. And I remember him as a footballer that did very well in the AFL. Now, what about Grundy, eh? Getting stung by the jellyfish in the morning in his eye. Great game. Isaac Heaney, fantastic. But with Mills and Parker out, I have swapped to Collingwood, but I hope you are right.
Yeah, I just, you know, I have the Pies in the top four this year, but I just think there are going to be a couple clubs that get off to some rough starts here. You know, and it's, and I do think, you know, I do think that, you know, Brody Grundy is going to certainly get the best of Mason Cox. I mean, Mason Cox has done some decent things the last couple of years, you know, winning the premiership and that sort of thing. But I think, you know, Grundy, now that he's back as the number one guy on his club in the ruck position, I think he's a superior ruckman, and it's going to, you know, I think it's going to work out well for Sydney in that regard. You know, can they keep up the speed with them? I don't know, you know, but I just decided to go with Sydney just to be a little bit on the contrary side there. And, you know, we're back, the third game of the round, back at the MCG, and you've got Essendon and Hawthorn. And, you know, I had contemplated putting Hawthorn in my top eight before this rash of injuries a couple of weeks before the season started. Really looking to see what you're thinking about this one.
Well, Bombers were 7.5-point favorite. It's dropped to 3.5 for some reason. I'm not really sure. You know, they've got some good ins, haven't they? Ben McKay, the fullback from the Roos, he's up and down. Todd Goldstein, he's a beauty, the ruckman. Jay Gresham across from St Kilda. And Xavier Dersma from Port Adelaide. So they have got some good recruits. And look at Hawks, eh? Little Jackie Ginnivan, eh? The blonde-haired little smart ass. But I tell you what, he can play. He had a good year in 2022. He kicked 40 goals, eh? Mm-hmm. And Marbio Cho and Dunk Gunston. So some good recruits. I think the Bombers will get that done, but pretty hard to tell, really.
Yeah, I went with the Bombers on that one as well. And what's neat about that one, and I hope it's on the regular TV networks here, because I believe that's a 10 o'clock in the evening start here. I think I wrote the time down on here. Yeah, that is a 10:45 PM start here. So it's actually at a halfway decent hour on the East Coast of the US to check that one out. So hopefully some people will tune into that one if they had the foresight into actually putting that game on. Of course, you know, some Americans may look at the Hawthorn colors and go, that's a really odd color scheme there, and decide to tune out then. But yeah, I went with the Bombers to take this one as well. Again, like I said, Hawthorn, I think that they're getting closer. I think that 2025, we're going to start to see a bit of a shift in terms of clubs that are going to be in the eight. I think we're going to see a couple slide out that have been perennial top eight sides. And yeah, we might start seeing some of these younger sides getting ready to jump up there. So we head back to GWS at NG Stadium. With the club who I think might have the best social media group in of any sport in the world. I think that the GWS social media folks do a phenomenal job there, but they're hosting North Melbourne, and you've got GWS coming off of I should ask you this. Was GWS's performance a dominant one against the Magpies, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I did watch a fair bit of that game, and it just shows when they didn't engage with Mason Cox, they were so focused, weren't they? Yeah. And they just went out and they won the whole game. And Magpies been celebrating a little bit too much. So, yeah, they're looking real good. They got 9 players under 50 games, the Giants. So they got some good youth.
Right,
good to see Jesse Hogan play well. And Brett Stormy Daniels got some coaches' votes. So, yeah, they're looking good, the Giants. The Kangaroos will struggle in defense, so the Giants could kick a big score, I think.
Yeah.
I'll take them to cover the 49.5 points.
Wow, I didn't realize. Again, I don't look at the points here. I had GWS winning this one by a couple of goals. I think, you know, North Melbourne's got a pretty solid you know, midfield. I'm looking forward to seeing what Dersma and McKercher do in their side this year. And, you know, another year further along with you know, Luke Davis, Uniac, and that group. And, you know, I'll apologize to North Melbourne supporters right now. I did tip Nick Larkey to win the Coleman. Last year, my Coleman pick and my Brownlow pick both ended up spending an awful lot of time on the sideline. So Sorry about that, Ruse supporters, but I had to pick somebody. But yeah, I think North is going to be a very fun club to watch this year. As they start to, they're going to kind of be like a young racehorse that's just starting to figure out that they have some ability. And, you know, they may stumble a little bit here and there when they get out on the track, but they're going to start to put some things together, and they may not win all of their races, but they're going to be, you know, they'll be competitive. And I think more of them than they have been in the last few years. So,
yeah, well, you've liked them for a while, but I might as well mention this now. The disadvantage for these teams that didn't play last week, I actually sent another tweet to Blighty and Wills. I want to know the percentage that they think it is an advantage for the teams that played. I think it's about a 20% advantage for the Giants over the Roos this week in the fact that they played last week for two reasons. They got extra match fitness, which you need, and it takes a few weeks to get that, and the pace of the game. You've got that extra week, the first hit out, where your skills are going to be up a bit more. So teams that played last week, I think they have a 20% advantage over the teams that didn't.
And I would argue that they might even have a slightly higher advantage because they're still playing at home. Same with Gold Coast.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
That they're sleeping in their own bed still again this week. You know, that the Swans have hit the road, Brisbane hit the road. But you know, GWS and Gold Coast are both, you know, enjoying that home cooking for another round there. So we head down to the stadium I'm gonna be waiting one more year to see in person. GMBHA Stadium, and the new Selwood stand is now open. It's year two of Ross the Boss as the Saints head down there to face off against the Cats. And I picked the Saints to finish in the top four this year. You know, the Cats, they're trying to figure out, you know, I've got them tipped fourth. The Cats are going to try to figure out how do they cobble together a productive midfield, because that was, you know, arguably their biggest problem last year was getting some consistency out of their midfield. You know, are they going to be able to get the ball into Cameron and Hawkins' hands consistently? I did read that there's a possibility that they may actually play a third tall this week with Shannon Neal, which might make them a slightly more difficult matchup. I don't know.
Wow. Well, Cats are 12.5-point favorite. I think you're exaggerating a little bit with Saints finishing fourth, but they might. I will take the Cats to win, but this is straight out a home field pick. As you know, they're hard to beat down there in Geelong and the extra crowd there. I'll take the Saints to get within 12, though, so to cover. Oh, you know, your Cats, there was a rumor today, one of the guys said that they might chase Clayton Oliver at the trade deadline. So that would be very interesting. And that came from a good source, but who knows on that. And I did listen to your podcast this week on the Cats preview. Mm-hmm. So your guy was very good mentioning O'Sullivan and Humphreys and Mano as a couple of players to come in, younger fellas. Cats will win, I think, at home, but that one could really go either way. Right, interesting game, isn't it?
I think it's what, you know, I think, you know, between that one and the, you know, the Magpies and the Swans, I think those might be the top two games of the round. Arguably. And you know what? I think we could put the next one into that as well, because your Crows are heading up to what is now called People First Stadium to face off against Gold Coast. Now, I don't know if you have heard or not, but Tex is not playing this round. I did see where it was announced that Tex Walker will not be playing in round one. And you know, a lot of people are picking the Crows to play finals this year. I think I put them in the eight. I know you put them in the eight. I've got the list on the previous page here.
No, I didn't. I picked them ninth.
Well, that's right. You picked them ninth. I picked them fifth. So I tipped them to be up there. You did not. That's right. Yeah. So, and I called it a trendy, you know, club to play finals this year. So I'm a lot more trendy than you are, which, I'm going with the Suns to win this one by less than a goal. I'm doing what I did once or twice last year. I've got Lukosius kicking the game winner at the horn with the Suns winning this one by five. at home and just keeping the excitement at the Gold Coast going along for Dema?
Well, they were 5.5-point favorite, and it's gone up to 7.5, and that would be with the news that Tex Walker is out, back spasms. So for them to rule him out 2 or 3 days before, because Matthew Nix did say he was going to leave it to the morning of the game, so something's wrong there. I'm a bit worried about that. And the reason I picked the Crows to come ninth is because last year they had hardly any injuries. Well, we got Tex Walker out. We now got Thilthorpe out. Yeah, it's Thilthorpe with a list. Thilthorpe is out for 10 or so weeks. So we need Darcy Fogarty to step up. You know what? He's up and down. He's got a beautiful set shot for goal, but he sometimes looks like he's not trying hard enough. So Darcy Fogarty, come on. It's up to you to kick goals. And little Rankin's a beauty, of course. I am going for the Suns to win for those two reasons of they played last week and they are at home and the Crows have been not real good on the road. But quickly mention Matt Rowe. For Matt Rowe to have 20 centre clearances, think about that. Yeah, when you play, you aim for about 4 or 5 kicks per quarter. He had that clearances out of the centre. Fantastic effort for the grass eater. And that's real grass, not marijuana grass.
Yeah. It's yeah, absolutely right. And it, and then that was a phenomenal performance on his part. And I'm hoping that we're going to hear, you know, round one, you know, Matt Rowell, you know, three votes when the Brownlow Award is handed out then, that he's got at least 3 votes in his pocket right now. Cause if he doesn't, whoever's making that decision obviously had left to go get themselves another meat pie or something during the course of that game and completely missed what the hell he was doing there, because that was a phenomenal performance. All right. We're back at the MCG for the 4th game of the weekend. And I think we could possibly call this the hot seat derby, because we've got two senior coaches whose seats are, I don't want to say that they're hot, but they're a little bit warm right now, I would think, with the Western Bulldogs and the Melbourne Demons. And, you know, the D's, they scuffled in that humid, sticky weather up in Sydney. You know, can they afford to go 0-2? You know, what are we going to see from the Bulldogs? You know, because this is a club that is a bit of an enigma that has, you know, all the talent in the world. They just don't always put it, you know, they're not always rowing in the same direction, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. This is a tough one to pick. I am going with the Demons only because of what I said, that the fact that they played last week and they'll have their skills up and their match fitness up a bit from the Dogs. Looking forward, they're all talking about this Riley Sanders, their first round pick for the Dogs from North Launceston, who played for Sandringham Dragons. Mm-hmm. Beveridge said he's the best first year equipped player he had seen. So that's interesting. Bailey Smith out for the year, of course. James Harms across from the D's. Young Ugel Hagen up forward is going to be a star. Yeah. But like I said, I think I'll stick with the Demons, but I hope I'm wrong. They're 7.5-point favourite. Fritch kicked 4 of their 9 goals, but they're lacking up forward. But I want to ask you, your guy that you interviewed for the Cats said that he knew of some rumours about the Demons that hasn't came out yet. Can you mention any? Did he tell you any off air?
He did not.
We've got to be careful, but there's some more rumors coming out about the Demons.
He did not tell me any of them off air. So I forgot to follow up and ask him about that. So I feel like a bit of a heel for that. But you know, I did want to ask you, you know, after watching what GWS did last week to Max Gaughan, where, you know, if you're an NBA fan, if you've been following the game for a long time, there, you know, the NBA teams used to do the hack-a-shack because they knew Shaquille O'Neal could not shoot free throws. He would always, you know, he was always getting fouled. But, you know, a lot of clubs have continually gone after Max Gaughan, running into him, bumping into him, pushing him, throwing little elbows at him and that sort of thing. And while he's an intense competitor, you know, when the ball is in play, he doesn't seem to be a player that is going to, you know, I don't want to say retaliate, but, you know, protect himself. So I'm really curious to see whether or not the Bulldogs try that again on him. And is anybody going to come to his defense from his side? Is somebody get you if you got Bulldog, if you got Bulldogs players who are coming in and thumping on Max Gaughan, is somebody going to get put on their ass for having done this? Is somebody going to get taken to the ground and basically, you know, knock it the hell off, play the game while the ball is in play and knock the rest of this shit off? Now, I'm really curious to see if that happens, because it seemed to me that the D's were not really wanting, or they were choosing. And I'm not saying that Brody Grundy was doing it necessarily, because they were just competing, but you had other players that continually were running into Max Gaughan all over the ground. And it's gone on for the last couple of years. I really want to know whether or not anybody is going to come to his defense.
Well, like I said last week on your preview show, too many of their players apparently are more worried about sticking the Coca-Cola up their nose after the game. So maybe they were thinking about getting back to their hotel rooms and then sticking some Coca-Cola up their nose and going out and chasing some girls or boys, whichever you choose, out in Sydney. I hope they lose, mate. I'd love to see the Demons totally unravel and then we find out the real truth about everything. But like I said, they had that weak advantage over the Dogs. Could be a close one. Could be an upset.
I went with the Bulldogs in this one. I kind of just went with the mother mindset that they had a little bit, you know, they had one less week worth of miles on them. And I think you may be right about, you know, having the game experience, the game speed, that sort of thing. I'm probably going to get that one wrong, but, it'll be the first of many this year that I get wrong. So, and then we head out to your old stomping grounds in Adelaide, to the Adelaide Oval, with Port Adelaide hosting the West Coast Eagles and the number one pick in the draft, Harley Reid, and everybody wants to see how Harley's going to go. And I think it's a safe bet that some folks are going to be bumping into Harley and welcoming him into the AFL this week. And he's facing off against one of the better midfields in the comp.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to line up on a halfback flank. So that would be good for him, because then they can't go after him as much. But the Perth boys I listened to, Quarters and Barra, they said something interesting today, that Don Pike talked about the fitness of the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Because they have a few older players and quite a few younger players, and not as many in that mid-age bracket, they've had to go easy on the training. Like, they can't train the old guys as hard, and they can't train the new guys as hard. So he's a bit worried about their fitness and stamina over the years. Oh, the Eagles are way off, mate. Port Adelaide are now favoured by 48.5. I think they'll win that and probably cover that. Be interesting to see their new recruits. No real stars amongst them. Zerk, Thatcher, Radaglia, Soldo, and Sweet. Mm-hmm. But I think Ollie Wines will bounce back, and he's that strong-thighed midfielder they might need. But I ruined my day today, mate, in a lot of ways, but I'm glad I did it. I actually listened to your preview of the Port Adelaide Power with David Apollo Creed Verner. He was very good. He grew up near my way, but he annoyed me, mate. I'll tell you why I got annoyed. This is why I got annoyed, mate. He talked about how he went and watched the Port Adelaide Magpies win the 1988 Grand Final. Uh-huh. Yeah, and they won the reserves as well, because I was playing in that, and they picked a big fight at the start. They went after Ralphie Suicide. She played that game, and yes. We got beaten by Port Adelaide, so they won the premiers in the league and the reserves that day in 1998. So interesting afternoon listening to your mate, but he was good.
They borrowed an idea from the the 89 Grand Final, where Dermot Brereton got knocked on his backside, you know, at the opening bounce, and didn't they say he collapsed a lung or something? Or was that the Dipper that had the collapsed lung?
That was Dipper, but yeah. You're right. They went after Richard Arben, who was with us. He played on a wing. They went after him, and at the same time, they went after the legend Ralphie Sewer in the forward pocket. So I ran down to where Ralphie was, trying to help him out, and then there's a brawl in the centre. So, yeah, they beat us. I had to admire them. They were a close-knit club, and they won league and reserves. God damn those rotten Magpies.
So did you end up getting into one of those scrums to help pull people off, or did you stand, you know, you said that they were up in the forward pocket and then there was one back at midfield, or did you end up in, you know, at about the 50 meter line where you were just kind of, you know, looking back and forth between the two of them and not actually involved in either one of them?
No, I just said I started on a half forward flank and I was second ruck rover. So I ran down to where Ralphie Sewer was and was pulling off the players Ralphie Sewer. But yeah, you don't want to throw a fist because you get reported. But yeah, definitely a good roll around on the dirt, wrestle slash pulling players off. But Richard Arben copped a pretty good fist in the face, I believe. So I don't know who that was. But Tregenza was playing. They had some good players, mate. Oh, yeah, they had good depth, those Port Adelaide Magpies.
Yeah, I went with Port Adelaide also. I did see somebody that posted an electrical company. They posted their truck. It's in the Vancouver area that their logo on the side of their truck is actually the Port Adelaide logo.
Wow.
Yeah. So I saw that on one of the social media sites today that and I put a comment on there. I said, I think that's the only electric company that's allowed to work at Eddie McGuire's house.
Eddie, eh? Yeah, you gotta love him, man.
All right, so the last game of the weekend, you've got Brisbane heading out to WA to face off against Fremantle. I did look, it's supposed to be a high of 28 Celsius on Sunday there, so it's gonna be a pretty warm day out in Perth. You know, if there's a club that's gonna handle that, it's gonna be Brisbane, because it's pretty warm, you know, up in Brisbane as well. I listened to Ricky Nixon's Chicken Coop yesterday at lunchtime. He tipped Fremantle to beat Brisbane in this game. And, you know, I did see Lockie Neal's comments there, like I said, where he talked about how they're shitting on one another and that they were selfish. And, you know, they did not get past Kadeen Coleman's injury. But he said that there was a little bit of selfishness. We weren't cohesive on defense. Probably thought scoreboard was ticking along all right, so that intensity dropped away a little bit. We probably chose some easy options. We didn't dig in, and basically you're shitting on your teammates. Which then he went on to say it's a great lesson. So he kind of, you know, said, hey, we're not, you know, we didn't do very well, but we could learn from this. So I'm going with the Lions to win this one. I just think they're too talented aside. You know, I Fremantle is one of those clubs that I think is a bit of an enigma. Of course, they could, you know, turn around and win this thing by themselves by 30 points if they wanted to, because they've got the talent. They just can't always get out of their own way.
Yeah, I think the Lions would be very, very angry. And again, another game where they have the advantage of playing last week, even though it's over there in Perth. Dockers are a bit hard to read, aren't they? Luke Jackson's good with Darcy out. They lost Schultz to the Magpies. Fife is looking in good form. Mm-hmm. I'll take the Lions a favour by 12.5. I think they'll get that done. But talking about your mate Ricky Nixon, who you had on his show, I listened to last week's episode. I like him. He's very controversial. He's done a lot of good and some bad things over his life, absolutely. But I don't like the way he talks about himself in the third person. He goes, and chicken goes bang. Anyway, he's a good, podcast.
Yeah, he has a lot of insight that, you know, he's got his finger on the pulse of a lot of things. And I enjoy that because, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, inside information that I'm certainly never, ever going to have, you know, an opportunity to learn about. So if I can pick up any of that, I think that's awesome. But
just don't believe everything he says, though, mate. That's the only advice I give you.
fair enough. But, you know, for those of you who didn't listen to my Fremantle preview, I had Duck from Purple Rain on, and his bold statement for the year was, his bold prediction was, and I don't know if you've listened to that one or not, but he said that if Sean Darcy plays five games or fewer for the Dockers this year, that Luke Jackson would win the Brownlow. And I was like,
yes.
Wow, that is really sledging on Luke on Darcy an awful lot there. I think, you know, Fremantle is going to be a competitive side. It's just, you know, can they put everything together? It's, you know, they're you know, two steps forward, you know, one and a half steps back, two and a half steps forward, you know, they're middle of the road, I think, you know, and I think I've got them way down the ladder this year, however, though.
Yeah.
I had to put somebody there. I had to put somebody there. So, now I did see that, before we jump into our little thing here to close this out, I did see where the AFL Players Association is starting to make a bit of a push for a second bye week. I don't know if they're talking about actually extending the season, but, you know, having another week of games, I think could lead to maybe some more television revenue, possibly, if you're spreading it out a little bit more. What are your thoughts?
I got to agree with Damien Barrett on this. The season's too long, for God's sake. They've stretched it out another 2 weeks from 2 years ago. They got to reduce it. But the Players Association, well, some of the teams do get 2 weeks by now because the ones that started earlier. But let's be honest, right. The Players Association is funded heavily by the AFL. So they're never going to be as strong as they should be. Another thing, Wayne Carey had a really good, had that Peter Jess, I think they had him on this a couple of weeks ago talking about the concussions. So he's leading that with 100 players named on this concussion lawsuit. Sure, there's legitimate people, but I bet you there's a few people on there just wanting money. So big story, as we know, but we'll keep an eye on that one. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those of you who maybe this is your first time listening, one of the things that we started doing last year was, Mick has spent an awful lot of time in Canada. So for his benefit, you know, we want to help him to brush up again, if you will, on his Australian slang terminology. And I've pulled most of these. A couple of them I found online, but I pulled most of these from a word search book that I got from my sister last year for my birthday. Looking at, you know, the possibility of me heading over there, and it's getting pushed back a year, but we've got our five terms for this week. So are you ready to go and see how you do on these?
Oh yeah. I wish I had the Sharon football to give me some good vibes, but I don't have that with me. So see
okay.
how we go.
Okay. So the first one is, what is a standover man? A standover man.
Probably another Melbourne term that only those guys talk about. Standover man.
And I don't have the region of the country, so I apologize for that.
Standover man, like a coach that's looking over a younger player. I don't know. No, never heard it really. That's just a guess.
Okay. It said that a standover man is an informal term for a person who extorts money by intimidation.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Probably a similar word. There'd be similar words to that. Yeah.
So what
mafia related?
I'm hearing the theme song to The Sopranos in my head right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one, what is a big spit? A big spit.
Uh-huh. I presume it's something like I often say to my girlfriend here, and she hates this term. I say, don't spit the dummy. Like a dummy in Australia is what you call a pacifier that the little kids have.
Right.
So a term in Australia is spitting the dummy means to have you have a big sulk and you have a big cry. So I presume it's something like that, is it?
It's you're on the right track. It's actually the act of vomiting. Yeah. So that is a tactic that you do not want your standover man doing. Because that's just adding insult to injury if they're going to intimidate you and do that to you at the same time.
So. Well, I nearly had two vomits this week. I don't want to get onto the NFL, but when I heard that Broncos are paying Russell Wilson to play at those rotten Steelers, I nearly spewed up. And I nearly spewed up today with your Port Adelaide guy talking about the 1988 Premiership. So there you go. Right. I nearly had two vomits this week.
Well, and you know, in the Browns decide, you know, Browns picked out, you know, the Broncos they ripped off the Band-Aid of that bad Russell Wilson deal. They're basically saying, we're going to go ahead and eat all that money this year. And we're playing for, yeah, we're playing to have the number one pick in the draft next year, because they're going to be god awful this year.
You want me to throw up again and ruin? Do you want me to throw up now?
I'm just really curious whether or not.
Let's move on to number three, Kevin.
Well, I was going to ask whether or not Adam Simpson was going to come to training camp for them this year. Okay.
Don't get too smart. Jerry Jeudy's injury prone. Good riddance to him, to your Browns.
You're right.
Anyway, let's get on to number three.
The next one, Barry Crocker.
Oh, I got this one. Yes, okay. Barry Crocker's a famous singer, I believe. Well, it's a saying for having a shocker.
Exactly right. Exactly. Yep. It's a rhyming slang. So Barry Crocker is having a shocker. Yes.
Yep.
All right. Okay. The next one, the last two, they both have a bit of a theme here because they share one term. Okay. So the fourth one, to hang shit. What does it mean to hang shit?
Oh, exactly that. Give someone shit, razz them up, stir them up like you useless piece of shit, razz them up. Yeah. Hang shit on someone. That's a very common saying. You could use that one and everyone would know what that means down home.
To hassle them, to tease them, to mock them.
Hang shit on someone, razz them up.
All right. And the fifth one, mean as bird shit. Mean as bird shit.
Wow. It's kind of self-explanatory. You're being mean to someone and I'm not sure why the bird shit, but basically being really mean to someone, and bird shit can be annoying, especially if it shits on your head and you walk in it and stuff, I would say. But yeah, pretty common saying, isn't it?
Let's go to the judges, and the judges say, not even close.
What? Mean as bird shit?
According to what I found online, it said mean as bird shit meant miserly or stingy with money.
Oh, no. Well, I reckon you probably might want to Google that. There'll probably be four or five terms for that.
I will look that one up again.
Yeah, there is some, like if you go on the Urban Dictionary, you'll see that some terms have like two or three different meanings.
Yep.
So give me that one, but also you're right as well. So it's probably different areas of Australia. Maybe our mate Scotty in South Australia can be the judge on that one.
Okay, I'm looking at the Aussie Slang Dictionary for that one there, and it says miserly or stingy with money. No surprise, he's as mean as bird shit.
Oh, I'm wrong then. All right. I'll gradually accept defeat on that one.
No. Sir, where can people find your work? Because I know you're kind of in between stuff and you're ramping up with footy now, but then you've also got some things that are coming up again up in Edmonton very soon because, the NFL, CFL seasons are not in play right now. So where can people find your work when they want to give you a follow there, sir?
Well, if you listen to Sports Day SA, you'll hear about me. No, I got to kick out. When you're halfway across the world and your first podcast driving to work in the snow and you listen to Adelaide Radio, I kind of enjoy that. So mikaussie.tv, mikaussie.tv. I presume I'm again with Sports Grid TV, but Gabe might be like me saying the season's a bit long, so I'm not sure. He actually was going to have me on last Wednesday, but I had a very important meeting with the owner of Edmonton Cricket TV at a very fancy golf course, so I didn't go on last week, so maybe Gabe's a bit annoyed because I knocked him back on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Not sure. And basically Twitter, MikAussie, MYK Aussie.
Okay, so was there still snow on the ground at the golf course, but the clubhouse was nice and warm?
Oh, mate, it's the richest golf course in Edmonton. My buddy pays a fortune to be a member there, but he meets all the high-up people. The food was unbelievable.
What was the best thing on the menu?
Well, I had, it was all good, but I actually had two big sushi rolls. It was fantastic.
Okay. Because, that's, I've never had sushi before. That's something I've never tried. Never tried
it. Love it. My favorite food.
I've not had sushi, but I did have monkey when I was in the Philippines back when I was in the Navy. So.
Oh, mate. Have you had, try koala on the barbecue when you're in Australia? No, that's a joke. We eat kangaroo, but we don't eat koala.
I have had kangaroo before. I've had a kangaroo burger. I've had kangaroo, I've had ostrich. Both of those were really, really good. But the monkey, I think I'd had probably one too many San Miguel's in Longapo City. It was like monkey on a stick. So it wasn't like the Indiana Jones movie where they were unscrewing the head and slurping out the monkey brains, anything like that. Well, hey Mick, this has been it's going to be a great year. You know, we had, I think we could safely say we had four really good games round one, a lot of great drama in those games, a lot of great storylines with Dima and with the GWS and Collingwood rivalry that seems to be ramping up right about now. You talk about, a David and Goliath situation there in terms of like club membership and that sort of thing. But it was kind of nice to see GWS get that win, and absolutely loved the stuff that they had on social media with the kid riding down the road and seeing the girl that was labeled, first opening round win. And the guy, the GWS guy, throwing the bag over his head. I absolutely love that. So I have to tip my cap to the Giants social media group. So, hey, last little bit of insight here before I let you go then, sir.
Yeah, well, just real quick. They had another one this morning on GWS on Instagram with Phil Davis. And they showed my Woodville mate, Phil Harper, who's been at the Crows for a long time. So, Phil's active on Facebook and checks out our stuff. All right, I'll leave you on this note. I need to apologize to a Carlton Blues player. I got to apologize to Harry Mackay. I ripped into him huge last week because he had the yips and he can't kick for goal. So I apologize to Harry Mackay. And it just shows anyone out there, practice, practice, practice. Kick 300 goals at training if you're not kicking right. Jason Dunstall said the same thing this week. Kick and practice and just kick goals, mate. It's no secret. Just practice like anything. Time on water, they say, if you windsurfing. So practice your kicks, mate. Have a great week, eh?
All right. You too as well, Mick. And great talking to you. And I will talk to you again very, very soon. Cheers, mate.
All right, Mick. Hey, man. Thanks so very much for hopping on today. It's great to get back talking some footy. We got a full slate of games this year, or this round, I should say. Very, very excited about that. Starts up tomorrow morning with a 4:40 a.m. start here. So I'll be watching from my classroom when I get to school. So there you have it, folks. There's round one in the books for us. You'll have to let us know where you think we're right, where you think we're wrong. Look out for one another, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check up on your friends. Make sure that you talk to someone if you need to reach out to them. Those numbers are in every episode show notes from my podcast for Australia both and in the United States. If you need to talk to somebody, please reach out. I appreciate the kind words from all of you. Remember, you can find everything over at my website, yankonthefooty.com. I do hope you'll subscribe to the podcast over there and get on the mailing list, so when new episodes come out, you've got them in your inbox. If you enjoy the show, I do hope you'll also get on the bandwagon there and leave a review as well. That's a huge help there. So if you enjoy it, I do hope you'll consider sharing it with your friends as well. If you want to help out the podcast, you can certainly do that. Click on that Buy Me a Coffee button. For those of you who did not yet listen to the review of opening round that I put out earlier this week, I am pushing back my trip to Australia to 2025. There are some things that that just as a parent as that I need to take care of, a little health issue that I'm needing to get situated as well. Not sure what this actually is, but I think it's not a big deal, but I just want to make sure, and I don't want it to be something that becomes exacerbated and me be overseas somewhere. So I want to get that resolved beforehand. So folks, again, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, X, or Twitter at @yank_on, yankofthefooty@gmail.com. I appreciate the kind words, everybody. And as always, may your dribble kick never hit the post. And I will catch you later. And this has been episode 317 of A Yank on the Footy. Thanks for listening. And consider sharing the podcast with the friends and family. And until next time, cheers and goodbye.